me just let's just bow in prayer.
Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege to come together tonight. And Lord, having heard from you this morning, we find a lot of comfort, Lord, in knowing that it is you that's living in us. It's you that's willing and you that's doing. And so, Lord, we know that as your scripture says, you which began the good work shall complete it. And so, Father, we're trusting, O God, that you have a great plan, and that plan is for us just to let go and to let you. Help us tonight, Father, as we continue in the study to just learn to trust you more, knowing that you are the sovereign God, the solitary God. You who were solitary for an eternity in the past have brought us into the picture through your love for us, knowing that we were in your thinking before the foundations of the world, which could be trillion, million, billion, who knows how many years before. But yet, Father, what you saw us to be, you've planted that seed in us to become. And now by the washing of water by thy word, we realize, Lord, that you're watering us by your Holy Spirit and by your word. And so you're bringing us into that manifestation of sons of God. In Jesus Christ we name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I shall see here. Somehow, it's not taking us. Try it again here. Okay. Oh, is that it? There we go. All right. Okay. Well, this morning we're examining the personality of God and how it cannot change. Is the font better?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll use this. And we found that the personality of God and how it cannot change, even though he moves from one vessel to another. I'd like to continue with where we left off this morning, so we're going to go back just a couple paragraphs into paragraph 98 of Brother Ram's sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed, where he said, "We believe it, we believe it." Now, what did Jesus say? He that believeth on me, see, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, the manifestation that the Holy Spirit come in the form of a dove, come upon me and done this, not through high breeding, but through virgin birth. Not the course of life like breeding a child, husband to wife, no, not that, not a high breed, but a virgin birth. Now, through this, I'm giving this life, that if you by faith will accept what Father, all the prophets, all the word of God, I will pour this life down upon you. And you can't do nothing else but produce the same thing that I am. There you are. We had a nice discussion after service today with some of the brothers. And Brother Michael was mentioning, he said, you know, one thing that I remember Brother Brian is, and we were talking about that time when we prayed and just asked the Lord to change the weather. And he said, I thought that was kind of bold, you know, to do that. But, you know, the thing is, if you really believe it, it's not bold. You know what I mean? In other words, Elijah was considered bold by today's standards. Of course, with the millennials or with the snowflakes, you know, he was a really bold person. But if you consider, he wasn't bold to the word. He was bold with the word. He wasn't bold to God. You know, God, you do this. No, he said, you know, Father, you said. Therefore, what you said, I'm standing on. And if we as Christians go back to God and say, now, Father, you said this, and you're not a man that you can lie. Then truly, I'm trusting in you to manifest your word. And I think that's the way that all Christians are. You know, we're trusting God that if he said it, he's going to perform it. That's why Brother Branham could stand there, have 10,000 critics and stand there because he had the vision. He saw what was going to take place. He knew it was going to take place. And you know, when you know the end from the beginning, you have a boldness about you. Nothing comes in and throws you off. You know the end. You know, like people got to, today they got to, well, Super Bowl's on tonight, you know, so we got to get home, we got to go to the Super Bowl. Listen, watch that on Monday. Honor the Sabbath. Just watch that on Monday. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, when you know the end from the beginning, all that stress that you have watching the game, you don't have it. Because you know the end from the beginning. And as we as Christians, right, you can watch and enjoy the plays and those kind of things. That's what I'm saying. Now, we as Christians, and I'm just using that as a natural illustration of the spiritual. We have the entire playbook right here. We know what the devil's going to do. We know what God's going to do. And we know how God trumps the devil. You know, I'm not talking about the politician. I'm talking about the trump of God. God will throw the devil in his place because he said it. He believes it. And that settles it. Well, if he said it, he believes it. And we have his person, his personality, living in us, then we believe what he said. That's why Brother Brown said the real indication you're a Christian is that you believe every single word for the hour in which you live. And you believe it, you see it, and so you're waiting for this step to happen, and this step will happen, and this step will happen, and you have a lot of comfort. Now, the world is scrambling today. They don't know what's... I mean, when President Trump came on the scene, not even as president, when he came in and starts just... You know, he's a... What's the word they use? He's a... not a destroyer, he's a...
Bulldozer?
Well, it's not even so much that. It's he really shakes things up, whether it's in business or friendships or whatever. You know, he really shakes things up. Well, but we know the battle plan, not his. We know God's, and we know exactly what's got to happen. So we can sit back and enjoy the show and say, okay, it's nice that we're having a little bit of time. There's a reprieve and this and that. But we know it's ultimately got to come. All right? But we know that we're not going to be here to see what ultimately comes. Because we're going to be in the arms of Christ. Before one missile strikes this country, we'll be in the arms of Christ. So you can have confidence that knowing that any time, all of a sudden you get an air raid sirens go off and you turn on the radio, oh, Russia sent a missile, you got 30 minutes. And you know what? Like Brother Brown said to Billy Paul, get your eyes off that comet and get your and pray. Then you say, okay, Father, you promised before one missile hits this country, I'm going to be in the arms of Christ. Amen. I'm trusting your word. Regardless of what I see, taste, smell, and hear, I'm trusting your word. That's why you can go to the pulpit and say, okay, Father, your children are suffering. They're not my children. They're not my responsibility. They're yours. And your children are suffering, and I'm just going to ask you, Father, as a father, if you would just change the weather, drop it 30 degrees so that people can cool down and things would be good. And you can expect God to take care of his children, because he said, what father whose son asking for bread and gives him a stone? Or what father whose son asks for a fish to give him a serpent? God don't play tricks with you. He don't dangle this carrot out here and then you know, as soon as you reach for it, he gives you a brick. That's the devil does that. God's a loving father. He's a loving God. He's a healer. He's a savior. He's a provider. He's all the things that a father would be. So when you believe that this word is eternal, and that it's the same as it was then, it is now, it's going to be in the future, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you can have confidence in him. It's not your own confidence in yourself. It's not, I'm a bulldozer for Jesus, and I'm going to pray. No. It's he said it. And if he said it, I'm just going to believe it. I don't have to be bold about it. I can be passive about it. But one thing I know, if I doubt, then I'll get nothing. Because James tells us that if a man vacillates between, he says there's no reward. There's nothing there. So either God said it and you believe it, or he didn't say it, and you don't have to believe it. But I would prefer to read my Bible, to study it every day, to know that, okay, this is what he said. If this circumstance happens, and I see it in his word, and there's something in my spirit says, hey, that's that scripture. It's happening in front of you. I can say, okay, I believe it. And lay my hands on that person and know that person's going to get healed. It's like when the brother came and his bottom of his foot was cut off. Hyena saw the gangrene. I don't know, Michael, did you see the gangrene? Yeah, a few people did. He saw the man, the whole leg was caught with gangrene. And he opened the bandages up after church, and there was total rot, like a hamburger that was like the green on a fly. That's what it looked like. But you know what? The next day he went back to the doctor after being prayed for. Went to the doctor, and the doctor took a look at it. Everything was back to normal, except for he had a scar the size of your little fingernail. So he went back to his Pentecostal church, and they said, well, you got a scar on your foot, so Jesus didn't heal you, or you've been healed altogether. And I said, well, isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he's raised from the dead, which is the highest form of healing, he had nail-scarred hands? That's a token, that's a memorial of the great work that God did. And that man lived another 15 years like Hezekiah, and I went down and did his funeral. And I told those Pentecostal people down there in Kentucky about that healing and about what they had said. And I said, God gave him 15 more years like he gave Hezekiah, who was pronounced to be dead. And he went before the Lord, and the God honored his prayer and gave him 15 more years. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are the most privileged people, because we at least have privilege to know his word, to have seen it alive in a prophet of God, and to see it alive in our own church. Hallelujah. Amen. So how could you not expect? It's like when we were down in Argentina, and Brother Hoffman was with me there, and we had the same situation, 110 degrees, and it was just totally hot. We had about 300 people in the church, and everybody, I mean, had taken down to, well, the sisters had just like little, you know, like almost like t-shirt, colored t-shirts with the bling bling, you know, and everybody was sweating royal. You know, at least in those countries where it's super hot and there's no air conditioning, I'll come to the pulpit with my jacket on and I'll take it off when I get to the pulpit. But I couldn't even wait. I mean, I took it off, came to the pulpit, and I was sweating like a, you know. And so I went to pray, and I just said, Lord, remember back in Kentucky when he changed the weather because your children were suffering? I said, these are your children too. And I'm asking you in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, to do what you did. Do for these people here what you did for those people in Kentucky, because I know you're not a respecter of persons. And you know, before we finished that sermon, it got dark outside. And the clouds came. And it pushed out all that heat, just like it did in Kentucky. Pushed out all that heat. And the pastor's sister, or pastor's daughter, she come up to me. She's blah, 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 blah. She's freezing. Everybody was freezing, because I tell you what happened. You were all there, everybody was sweating because it was so hot. All of a sudden, God cools it down 30 degrees, and it feels like you're in a refrigerator. And all that sweat, you know, is cool. And she said, Brother Brown, she said, I knew as soon as you prayed, I didn't wear enough clothes at church today. Why? It's not because I prayed. It's because I recognized the situation. It was identical to a situation I'd been before. Like Brother Branham, or Brother Bill told us about Brother Bosworth. He said, Brother Bosworth, when he'd have a deaf person come up, he had a special ministry to where, for some reason, he had a greater confidence in praying for a deaf person than he had in other things. Like Brother Branham had more success with children that were that had the, I think it was the eyesight is what it was, the cross-eyed stuff, because his little Sharon Rose had gone cross-eyed when she was laying on the deathbed there. And so Brother Brown had more compassion for that little that type of a child, because it reminded him of his own daughter. Brother Bosworth, Brother Bell said he gets kind of giddy like a child. You know, like, oh, good. I know it's coming because he's seen it. When you've done that, you know, it's like a man that gets up to the plate and you know, the home run hitters. I mean, excuse me, people like Babe Ruth. They were of a nature where they could actually tell you how many times that ball spun from the time it left the pitcher's hand until the time it crossed the plate. Okay, that's how much focus they had. And so they could see that ball coming, and they could tell if it's going to be a curveball or if it's going to be a slider or what by the way it was spinning. And they had great success, and they hit many home runs. They had many hits. A Christian ought to be the same way. How many times have you come across the same situation and you're seeing the same results? Now, if you're still struggling with the same test and you're failing it, wake up. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. You ought to be to the place where you don't have to take the same test over and over and over again. Because you ought to be thinking ahead, watching that ball to see if it's going to be a curveball or if it's going to be a straight ball, a fastball, whatever. How many of you study the Word every day? Okay, good. I'm glad to see it. How many of you teach your children the Word every day? Very good. It ought to be. I was on the tape the other day, Brother Rand was talking about his children. He would drill his children. He said, you should drill his children. In fact, this Wednesday night, we're going to listen to a Brother Rand's sermon called Elisha the Prophet. It's all about... I want you all to listen to it. I'd rather you come. In fact, we've got new software here. And at the end of the service, I'll show you that you can actually follow it. And it, you know, it's if you have the table, you know what I'm talking about. But It's like they did down at the meetings out there in Harmony in the Desert. The screen would be black and the letters would be in white. And they're kind of in a light white or a grayish until he's talking about them. Those words pop up on the screen, they can become bold and very bright, and you can see those words and everything else kind of, you know. But Elisha the prophet, Brother Brown talks about families and children, raising your children. And he talked about himself, and he said, I would test my children. He said, you know, we'd go driving down the road, and I'd turn on a radio station where I knew there was preaching. And I had the kids listen for 5 minutes. I turn it off, and I say, now, what denomination are they? Can you do that yourself? Can your children do that? You see? And then he would discuss the finer points. That's what it means to train them up in the way they go. It doesn't mean, well, we'll take them to church today. Like I said, I had a sister in the church, and her father was song leader one time. He was deacon one time, you know, and she came to me, and she said, Brother Brian, she said, all I know about this message is what I've heard in church. We don't discuss it at home. I've never had my parents teach me anything. That's a disgrace. It's really a disgrace. Because if you want those children to spend eternity with you, there's only one way it's going to get there, through the Word. And if they're not living right, the only way they're going to get washed is through the washing of water by the Word. So we are repositories of God, the personality of God, the character of God, and that changes not. So just don't step in the way, in God's way, when God wants to do something, like Sarah said to her brother when he said, well, I'm only, you know, he said something to her, and she started crying. Well, I'm only saying what Daddy said, but it's not the way he said it. Make sure that it's the way you present the Word as well. Present it in a way that's going to make sure that it stays with them. Sometimes it takes a little bit of a more hammering the nail down than it does others. But just die to yourself and let the Spirit of Christ, which is in you by the new birth. I don't know of anybody in here that doesn't have it. Now, there may be some, I don't know. That's between them and God, but I believe you all have it. So, just let Him, just let go, let Him. All right? And He says, you can't do nothing else but produce the same thing. You can't help it. Now, the works that I do, you shall do also. And what did He do? Just as the Father led Him. That's what He saw. St. John 5:19, I do nothing until the Father shows me. What was He? He made Himself a man. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God's spoken word through a virgin brought forth a body, and in that body came the water of the Spirit, and washed by the water of the Word, and then went in Him, dwelt in Him, and there come the life of God manifesting Himself through Christ. God was in Christ, the Anointed One. Now, Christ means the Anointed One, a man that was anointed, and God dwelling in him. What was it? It's the germ with the flesh, the Anointed One. Flesh being anointed with the Spirit of God produced the Word of God made manifest. Now listen, if the Word of God is in you, all right, and He's living in you, then doesn't your hand answer to your brain? Remember, Irenaeus said we need our brains baptized sometimes more than our body. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, then if the Holy Spirit says go here, you go there. Sometimes you wonder, well, I don't know why He wants me to go there, but I'm feeling that compulsion inside. He's telling me to go there. Brother Brown left the airport. So the Holy Spirit says, start walking. Started walking. Take a left here. Take a left there. See, led by the Spirit. Oh, now take a right here. Go down here. Okay. Lord, whatever you want, you know. I'm just following your Spirit. I don't know if you're sensitive enough to have the Spirit lead like that. So he walks down the street, and here comes Aunt Jemima. She's standing there at the gate. She's been waiting there for an hour or two. She goes, howdy, parson. How'd you know I'm a preacher? Well, God told me Elijah would come and heal my son. How do you know that? Because I read my Bible, and there was a woman in the Bible whose son was dying, and my son's dying, so I'm waiting for Elijah to come. She lived that Word. It was such a reality to her that she could see that I'm in the same situation somebody else was. God's not a respecter of person. He's got to do the same thing, so I'm waiting for Elijah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. It's so simple. Children could know it. Like my own daughter Elizabeth one time, she prayed for Christina. She was very sick. She said, well, Dad, we can go now because Christina's better. I said, how do you know? Because I prayed for her. I laid hands on her, just like the Bible says. Childlike faith. Sometimes we get so high colluded or high whatever you call it. We think that we really got something because we got a doctor. I'm sorry, but when you get to that point, you miss the whole purpose. God hides in simplicity. So Brother Branham says, and we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Wow, full of grace. So the person comes in, maybe they don't dress like you think a Christian should, or talk like a Christian should, or wear their hair like a Christian woman ought to wear hair. What's the first thing you do? Well, they're certainly not a son of God. I mean, they're more like a haint than a whatever. Don't do that. He was full of grace. He allowed a prostitute. She wasn't. Listen, that prostitute, she washed his feet. Like God's prophet said, you know, you ought to have be sanctified by the word of God or by the holy fire of God before you take communion. Foot wash. Well, she did it. And did he stop her? No. No, he didn't. So who are we to say, well, this person qualifies, this person doesn't? Who are you to say so? You have no right. Brother Ram said, when the child is just of age, or not even age, he said, when the child asks to be baptized, he said, don't hesitate, do it. Do it. Well, the child's only 3, the child's only 5. Do it. Told Billy Paul that was the biggest mistake he ever made. His boy was 5 years old, he wanted to be baptized, he said, you're not old enough. Brother Branham told him, Billy, you made a mistake. That boy didn't get baptized for another 20 years. Lived like the world and everything else because of it. When God's pulling the heartstring, then let it play. Let it play. I don't care if they're 2 years old. Columba, the pillar of fire, was with him from his birth. How many of you read the book of the story of Columba? It's tremendous. I've got them on PDF if you want them. And of Malachi. I mean, of Martin. Of Martin of Tours. Men of God, the pillar of fire was with them. They did everything like Jesus did. They saw things in the Bible that Elijah did. So they did the same thing. They saw how Elijah laid his mouth in the boy's mouth and his hands in the boy's hands, and God breathed into him the breath of life, like God did to Adam. Elijah saw that, and he did it. Elisha saw the same thing, he did the same miracle. Martin of Tours did the same thing. Why? Because there was an example. This word is filled with examples of what God does when he's got a yielded vessel. And so he's full of grace. See, there he was. See, he was God's word made manifest. And now he died in order to pay the debt of your high breeding. My. There it is. What is it? That you could die to yourself until you're no more yourself and be filled with his word, believing his word. And then the Holy Spirit that was in him comes down to water the word to make it grow. See? And then what it is? What is it? God manifesting, continuing the work of his first son, his only begotten. Think about that. You die to yourself, to your own motives, your own objectives. Like when I was sitting in the chair, I wanted the chair because of the huge storm in Africa. Sat down in the chair, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what are you sitting for? I didn't have a chance to react because he was pretty terse. What are you sitting for? Have not I sent you? I said, yes, Lord, you sent me. Then get back to the pulpit and take charge of the meeting. I wasn't about to argue. But I had no way, I had no clue, how am I going to stop a storm that's stopping these meetings? I just got up, you know, beating, because I thought, well, I'm going to go, I'm going to get there, but you know, hopefully, by the time I get there, he'll show me what to do. And I started walking. The very first step I took, I saw like a mental vision, and in that mental vision, it seemed like about 30 seconds, but it had to be, how long does that take? Half a second? Maybe a second? In that short period of time, I saw Jesus. I saw the whole scene. He was laying in the boat. He was asleep. The waves came up. The storm came up. The disciples got all you know, fearful. And he sat up and said, "Peace, be still." Okay, well, I've been preaching to these brothers before that storm came on about the relationship between Father and Son, and that if you give your oldest son at 18 years old, if you give him the car keys to use, I said, then when the next son comes along and he's 18, you're obligated to do the same thing, or you're a hypocrite, or he's not the right kind of a son. But if he is the right kind of a son, just like the first one was, then you're a hypocrite if you're a respecter of persons with your children. I've been preaching that. Then the storm came. I sat down. Okay, the Holy Spirit said, "Go back, take charge of me." By the time I took my second step, I saw William Branham running around the trees, shouting and screaming, with an eagle up in the tree, because the storm had stopped. Okay, he had spoken the word, the storm had stopped. Okay, Lord, I know, I see the example. So I walked to the pulpit. I don't know how to begin, but I just said, "Let's bow our heads in prayer." And I said, "Satan, I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God." Now, you would think, just a minute now, who gives you the right? That was a prophet of God did that. Who gives you the right? The Father told me to take charge of the meeting. He didn't tell me how. He said, "Do it." I had an example of someone who did it. He said, "I take charge of every spirit in here for the glory of God." I just stepped in those same shoes and said, "Okay, I'm going to do what he did." And you know what? I got the same results. And I said, "Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that you're the prince of power there, but your stinger was pulled out on Calvary, and you're just a bluff. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to stop." And you know what? I've got the film. If you want to see sometime, I'll play it. It's like all of a sudden the lights turned on in the church. The church didn't have electricity, so there was no lights to turn on. In other words, the darkness that had settled over that church was now bright. The rain stopped. And for the next 3.5 hours, I continued to preach on the relationship between Father and Son. Got the same result as a prophet of God and as a son of God, firstborn son of God. Why? Because I believe God. If you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. I don't know how to do it necessarily, but you know what? If I'm any otherwise minded, he's going to reveal it to me. So just take the step and watch what he does. He said Moses had to step into the water for the water to part. Right? Elijah took his cane, or he didn't have a staff like Moses did. Moses walked out there with his staff. That water parted. Well, Elijah got to the water, the Jordan. It was overflowing his banks. It was that time of season. He didn't have a staff. He had on a tunic, like a garment. He just rolled it up like a staff. You ever snap people in the shower, you know, when you're... He rolled it up tight like a staff, and he hit the waters. And said, "Water's parted." The parted water's parted. Well, then when he went up, he tossed down his tunic, you know, to Elisha. Elisha walked back, and the Jordan was still flowing over its banks. And he just said, "Took it." What do you say? "Where is the God of Elijah?" Boom. Same results. Why? Same spirit. Same spirit. Now, if you believe what you saw in William Branham, and you got the same God living in you, you're going to get the same results.
Amen.
Now, there's certain things that go with the office, like the sign of a prophet, you know, the sign of Messiah. You don't get that. But there's all kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit, gift of wisdom, gift of discerning of spirits. That's different from discerning thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, but it's there.
Sure.
So he says, you could die to yourself until you're no more yourself and be filled with his word, believing his word. Then the Holy Spirit that was in him comes down to water that word to make it grow. See? And then what is it? God manifesting. It's not you manifesting.
It's God manifesting. Continuing the work of His first Son, His only begotten, see, that died for our high-breeding life, that He might reconcile us back to be sons and daughters of God, that through the church might flow the same life by the Word, continuing the Word being made manifested as it was in Christ.
I want that so much in my life. Oh God, help me just to die to this flesh and blood. That Your work, Your life might be imparted from me to others.
Christ was God's Word made manifest, and He died. He gave His life that He might send the Spirit, take His body up and send the Spirit back to water, pay the redeeming price if we'll believe it. If we'll believe it. That's right there. There, if you believe it. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, then come the Holy Spirit upon the same Word of God. Oh, this is so rich. From what I speak, Brother Branham quotes Jesus in John 14:12, saying, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet anointed and approved of God among you, which you all know yourself. And the Bible also said that God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost, that he went about doing good, healing the sick. That was a sign that he was what he claimed to be. That's the way God sends it. That's the way it's supposed to come in the last days. And the Holy Spirit that comes in the last days isn't to draw us to a creed, isn't to draw us to a church, is to draw us to God. And supernatural signs is to follow that Holy Spirit. Okay, from the oncoming storm, he says, some time ago I made it, making altar calls, and I love John 5:24. He that hears my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but pass from death unto life. He that believeth said, well, that's pretty light. No, that's pretty deep. For when you believe, no man can call Jesus the Christ, only by the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, then you have believed unto eternal life and have eternal life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has, that's past tense, has eternal life. And shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death to life. So if in John 5:24, which is a few, maybe a little bit before John 14:12, which is, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. So if you have eternal life, then Jesus said, he that believeth, he that has eternal life, will do the same thing I do. It's the same nature, same person, same personality. And from God's only provided way, he said, Brother Adam said, a little while in the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me, because I will be with you, even in you. That's why you see him. Others that don't see him, it's because he's not in them. You understand? The Holy Spirit, Christ called it, Christ, God, the Holy Spirit in him, was to be in his church unto the end of the world, God's word. And the works that I do, shall you do also. A little while in the world won't see me no more, but you shall see me, for I'm going to be in you. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also in you until the end of the world. God has a provided way for his believing children. Jesus Christ is that way, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I challenge you all. Die to your mortal thinking and open up your Bible. Say, Father, I want you today, please, to show me what you would have your servant to do, or how to live, or what to speak. And God will bring across your path an opportunity for what you prayed for so that it might materialize in your very life. Then you'll see John 14:12 in operation. Now, John 14:12 isn't being sweet. It isn't being nice. It isn't being, a goody two-shoes. Jesus went into the temple and he whipped the people out. He drove out the animals and he whipped the people out. And people say, well, you know what? You talk about John 14:12 all the time, but I don't see it in your life because, you know, you're always against this or that or whatever. Listen, I stand for God's word. And that it. That's it. You know, I don't think I'm as bad, as harsh as Elijah. I mean, you might think so, but I don't. But as Brother Gary and I were talking, you know, when God is polishing you, he doesn't start with 1600 grain. He starts with about a 40 grain. You can't take rust off with a 1600 grain. You have to have about a 40 grain. I said, well, Brother Vail was my 40 grain. Because he sure took a lot of the copper burr nature out of me.
I met about 160 grain in Brother Collins. And he was more sweet and gentle, but he wasn't that way all the time. But believe me, we had some really good conversations. And he was no pushover. And he spoke his mind. Like Brother Vail, kind of the same way, on certain things. But still, he was about 160 grain, 40 grain. If you want that 1600 grain, make sure the Holy Ghost is in you. Because he'll bring it down from 40 to 100 to 200 to 400 to 800 to 1600. And he will get you so smooth that you will be reflecting his life, not your own. So, putting on the whole armor of God, Brother Ramson, now, he said what he would do. He would come and vindicate himself in his church, and they would vindicate his resurrection by his works. See? Yeah, John 14:12. I think that's right. Yeah, John 14:12. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. See what it is? Now, you say, well, I believe. Well, that's just a word. But if you truly believe that, if he is the word, then you've got to believe all the word. He that believeth on me, just don't believe part of it, believe all of me. Then the works that I do shall you do also. For he is still the same word. So it's the same word if it would do the same works. If this Holy Spirit that's here today, if it isn't the same word that it was in the beginning, if it is, it'll do the same works. That's the reason Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. Oh, I'd like to stay on that for a little while, but getting too late, why? Well, the same word, same works. See? Because Jesus was God's works, we know that. And from Mark of the Beast, he said, now the Holy Spirit is the seal of God. Now, if you say you believe and haven't received the Holy Ghost, then God's never recognized your faith yet. That's right. And I'll tell you what, you might say you believe, but you're vacillating somewhere. I believe, but there's no buts. You said it. I'm expecting it. And that's when you get results. Go back and read the book of James. He said, James says, look, he said, if you vacillate between, you'll never receive anything from God. You know, he that believeth God believes that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently, not, you know, just on Sunday, but diligently seek him. That's right. In fact, I was listening to this the other day, and Brother Bass said, if you're a mature Christian, you can't wait for that church door to get open. He says, the test of whether you're a true Christian or not, he says, you'll be there Wednesday night. I mean, that's him. That's not me. That's him. I challenge you to go look that up. It's being mature. Being mature. There's something in you hungering and thirsting. It doesn't matter if I'm preaching or if Brother Branham is preaching. Being a mature Christian, you can't wait for that door to get open. Now, if you say that you believe and haven't received the Holy Ghost, then God's never recognized your faith yet. Let me just say this. If you say that you believe, but you don't see John 14:12 in your life, then God has never recognized your faith yet. Because the John 14:12, the works, is God recognizing your faith. You see? That's right. Because the seal is the recognition that God has completed and finished his work in you. That's right. That he recognized, sure. Some would say, well, why do you make it so loose, Brother Bradham? Say John 5:24. That's the beginning of the Spirit. That's right. I believe that a man, as soon as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a portion of the Holy Spirit. When you're sanctified, another portion of the Holy Spirit cleans you. There's your cleansing by fire. That's living a sanctified life. Now tell me, what child in here is not living a sanctified life? I'd just like to ask a question. If he's not, it's because you parents are putting the boob tube before him or you know, some cartoon that's filled with all kinds of vile stuff. That's the only thing that would be preventing your child, because your child is being raised in a Holy Ghost family under the pillar of fire. That child is sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer, your prayer. All right, I'm just saying that, but when you're sanctified, another part of the Holy Spirit cleans you, then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Right. Now, but he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. There's only one type of it, and that's God life. From hearing him, he said, now let's see what Jesus says. St. John 5:24, while you're praying, listen to the words now. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, past tense, or present tense,
everlasting life, and shall never come into the judgment, but has passed from death to life. Now remember, that word half is echo. Well, how do you know you're believing? Because you're echoing the word. Not just saying the same thing he said, but you're living the same thing he lived. How simple, how sweet. The Father has made it so simple for us. Not complicated, not educational programs, not creeds and catechism to learn, but to know him by love. The Father has made it so simple. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath, present tense, eternal life. Is the Holy Spirit eternal life? Yes. And shall not come into the judgment or condemnation, but hath, past tense, passed from death unto life. I want to continue and look at the second thought that came forth from Brother Bram's first thought. Remember, he said, you cannot be a person without being a personality. And if you're a personality, you are one personality to yourself. You're a separated individual being. And then he said, the whole Bible is the revelation of God. The whole church is built upon the revelation of God. There is no other way to know God, only by revelation, to whom the Son will reveal. Then Brother Branham begins to show us this idea of God changing his mask. Now remember, he was talking about personality, and now he begins to show us how that the same God with the same personality moves from one vessel to another, but remains the same no matter what the vessel might be. Let's pick up at paragraph 38. Now we find out that this person had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, nor ending of life. It was God and morph. Now the Greek word means change. Was used changing himself and morph. From one person to one person. The Greek word there, and morph, means it was taken from the stage act. That one person is changing his mask to make him some other character. Like in school just recently, I believe Rebecca, just before she graduated, they had one of Shakespeare's plays. And one young man had to change his clothes several times because he played two or three different parts, but the same person. He'd come out one time as he was the villain. And when he'd come out the next time, he was another character. Now, the Greek word and morph means that he changes mask. And that's what God did. It's the same God all the time. God in the form of Father, the Spirit, the pillar of fire. The same God was made flesh and dwelt among us and morph, brought out so that he could be seen. And now that same God is the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Not three gods or three offices, three acts of one God. The Bible said there's one God, not three. But that's how that they couldn't. You can't get this straightened out and have three gods. You'll never sell that to a Jew. I tell you that. One who knows better, he knows there's only one God. Now notice, like the sculpture, he hides with a mask over it. That's what God's done to this age. It's been hid. All these things have been hid, and it's supposed to be revealed in this age. Now the Bible says that they would be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered up until the time that he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up, and it's been hid since the foundation of the world, and the sevenfold mystery, and the promise in this day, at the age of the Laodicean church, that he would take the mask off the whole thing, and we could see it. What a glorious thing, God and morph, masked in a pillar of fire, God and morph in a man called Jesus, God and morph in his church. Not the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The same God. All the way down. And morph in the church. God above us, God with us, God in us. The condescending of God up there, holy. No one could touch him. He set up upon the mountain, and even if an animal touched the mountain, had to die. And then God come down and changed his tent. And he come down and lived with us. Become one of us, and we beheld him. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of God likeness, for God was manifested in the flesh. Handled with hands. God ate meat, God drank water, God slept, God cried. He was one of us, beautiful, typed in the Bible. That was God above us, God with us, and now it's God in us. Amen. The Holy Spirit, not the third person, the same person. God came down and become flesh and died the death in Christ, so that he could clean the church in order to get into it for fellowship. God loves fellowship. That's what he made the man at the first time was for fellowship. God dwells alone with cherubims, and notice now, he made man and man fell. So he came down and redeemed man because God loves to be worshipped. The very word God means object of worship. And this that comes among us as a pillar of fire, as something that changes our hearts, that is the same God that said, let there be light, and there was light. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, we are looking at the same sovereign God, the same solitary God who began it all by his spoken word, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is God and he changes not. Now you say, well, why would he want to choose me to manifest himself? That's his business. But if you're a true son, you say, not my will, but thy will be done. From why I am a holy roller, Brother Brown said, well, I tell you, it means something when a man is really born again of the Spirit of God. He becomes acquainted. A personality of God is in him. There you go. That's why Brother Brown, people thought he was God. He had the same personality that was manifesting. From marriage of the Lamb, he said, all that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church to continue the work of the gospel. Then we become, not by artificial name, but by a reality of the Holy Spirit of life connecting us into Christ. Then through the power of his resurrection, we are raised from the dead, things of the world, and setting with him in heavenly places. Amen. I like that. And tonight we're setting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, resurrected with him, died to the things of the world, and took on Christ. And when we take on Christ, then the world is dead. Then we no more care for the world. The world is dead to us, and it's dead to us, and we're dead to it. You're a different person, different personality, because you are a new creation. Change from glory to glory. What's that? Change from your opinion to his opinion. Change from your values to his values. Change from your judgment to his judgment. You change from image to image. You're a different person, a different personality, because you are a new creation. How many of you believe that you're a different personality than what you used to be? Well, you should have seen me before if you think I'm bad now. I mean, if you think I'm tough now, you should have seen me. Okay. Anyway, a new creation, not the same creation polished up, not a man that's turned a new leaf, but a man that's died and been born again and become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the Spirit of the living God lives in the person. Now, just like the woman, that's no more Broy, she's a Branham, and she goes off by that name. And the church is no more of the world, but it's in the name of Christ that she is. She's connected with him by his own life. And now remember, when the bride begins to know who she is, that's when she's going to go. And it is not knowing what you were by the natural birth he's talking about. He's talking about when you see the very life of Christ living itself out in your own life, and God confirming it with signs and wonders, vindicating that his life has taken over your vessel. Then you will see the personality of God in you, just as it was in the firstborn son. Then you will know who you are, you really are. Then you are ready for adoption. Because that's what it's all about. It's about being adoptable. Being like the firstborn son, being conformed to the firstborn. From way of a true prophet, he said, others reason. But see, Amos couldn't reason because he was a prophet. The word come to him. No. Same as the word today, you must interpret it. Let the Holy Spirit interpret it by vindicating it in your life. You mean in Brother Brown's life? No, in your life. I'm going to read that again. Let the Holy Spirit interpret it by vindicating it in your life. That's what was said. But you know what Jeremiah said, the prophet Hananiah, he said, when the prophet speaks and what he says is manifested, then the prophet knowed that he was right. If Amos was here, what do you think that he would do? He would stay with the word. That's what he would do. You know what? He'd tell us that we've been taught off the foundation of the original word of God. He'd tell us that we're far away from the first Pentecostal church. That's what he'd tell us, Pentecostals. You say, well now, they had almost 50 years to get yourself in gear and you've never come there yet. Oh, what would he say to denominational personality? If he wouldn't give that, if he wouldn't tear up the churches for their immorals, for accepting creeds, for joining the church instead of being born into it. Well, if you're born into it, brother, sister, you act different. You stay with the word. If the Holy Spirit's in you, it only feeds on the word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not part of the word, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He being a prophet, he would see things in us if Amos was a prophet. From question and answer on the Holy Spirit, or on the seal, says, now, here's one. I don't know how to touch it. And I got another one just before this one. And then I'm going to ask them to snap the tape just a minute. If God is one personality, why or how could he talk to himself on Mount Transfiguration? Well, I've just explained that, you see. I'd like to ask you this. When Jesus prayed to the Father, you see, I believe that you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't you, brother? Why don't you stand up just a minute, okay? You claim to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I do too. Then what is that? Then I don't claim that I have the powers within myself to unfold these mysteries. I don't have the power to heal the sick. It's God. I believe that you're a minister. If I'm not mistaken, you're from Arkansas, all right? Now, and in you, you have is to preach the gospel. Ordinarily, you was raised on a farm and around like that. You just don't know nothing about it. But something come into you to preach the gospel. You don't claim to be yourself at all. That's another person called the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Okay? Now, I want to ask you, that Holy Ghost that dwells in you, is that right? Do you talk to Him, speak to Him, pray to Him? All right? Well, that's all I want. That's all I want. Thank you very much. See? Now, do you get it? I'll ask you one. How did it come that when Jesus in St. John 3, He said, when the Son of Man shall be, which now is in heaven, see, now is in heaven, shall come to the earth, see, the Son of Man, which now is in heaven, and here He stood right there talking to the people. Now, you answer me that one. Jesus and the Father was the self-same person, just the same as the Holy Spirit is in me. You're looking to me preaching, but it's not me. It's not me to speak the word that could bring, as you know, an animal, sit there and look at it, and kill the animal and eat it. That's creative power. That doesn't lay in a human being. It's not me that could take a little boy here, laying on the doctor, laying him on his back with heart trouble tonight and say, thus saith William Branham? No. Thus saith the Lord, it's finished. And bring him down to the doctor the next day and it's all gone. A kid with leukemia, till his eyes were bulged out and yellow all over, and his stomach, until they take him to the hospital to give it blood and things to even get it here. And in 5 minutes' time, cry for a hamburger and take it back to the doctor the next day and can't even find a trace of that. That's thus saith William Branham. That's thus saith the Lord. Yet, he is an individual different from me. But the only way that he's expressed is through me. See? That's how Jesus and the Father was. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. Now the Son of Man shall ascend from heaven, which now is in heaven. See, what was it? He was omnipresent because He was God. You believe God's in the heaven? Sure. You believe God's here? Sure. You believe God's in yourself? Sure. Then when you pray, are you praying for the Holy Ghost in you? Let me just put it this way. When I'm praying for somebody else over there on the other side of the world, I pray to God, but also pray to God. So, Father, I know that I'm linked with Your umbilical, which is the Word. And in me, Father, there's a compassion in me. I've got brothers over there. This happened. This is true. A brother from Uganda wrote to me. He said, brother, we're having extreme famine. No rain. Hasn't rained for 3 months. Our crops are all dying. People are starving. Is there anything you can do for us? I said, well, I don't have the money to help you. But I have my Father. And I have to tell you what. We're going to pray. I'll pray at 9 o'clock. Exactly 9 o'clock. And that'll be, I think it was like 6 hours before, so it'd be like four in the morning. No, it'd be three in the morning. So you pray at 3, I'll pray at 9. I'm going to ask God, and you're going to ask God. I said, because you were there in Uganda. You were there in Western Uganda when the Lord stopped the storm. So you know He answers prayer. I said, and you were there because you partook of that, because, see, it happened twice in the same meeting. I prayed in the morning. It went away for 3.5 hours. The storm opened up like a big cookie cutter, took a hole out of the sky, out of the clouds, and we continued. When we went for lunch, we had to go into the rain, three kilometers away, had to come back into this peace when we got back, but then the hole closed up. And when I wanted to continue the meeting, I said, brother, you're going to have to do the praying because I said, I was going to pray, but the Holy Spirit quickened me and just touched me. He said, look, if you pray, I'll have to answer your word because I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, but the brothers are going to try to make you Brother Branham or, you know, something that you're not.
So I told the brothers,
the Holy Spirit just told me, he said, wants you to pray. I said, the reason is because if I do the praying, you're going to try to elevate me to something that I'm not. I'm just your brother.
I'm just one brother in the vast family of brothers. But he wants you to pray so you can see the benefit that he works the same in your prayer as he does in mine. And so the brothers prayed and God did the same thing. He stopped the storm by that time, the storm just completely went away. We didn't have it.
And so those brothers remembered, and when they were 3 years later, they were over in, or it was 2 years later, they were over in, at a meeting in Eastern Congo, and Brother Ben Caleb went over there. They said, Brother Ben, we remember when that white man come over. They didn't remember my name, but they said, he was the only white man we ever seen that wasn't afraid to take on a storm. My question to you, are you afraid to take on a storm? If God's the one that'll do it for you? Absolutely not. You shouldn't be. And that's what he's saying here. It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. See? Now the Son of Man shall ascend from heaven, which now is in heaven. See? What is it? He was omnipresent because he was God. When you have the example laid before you, and you have the same Holy Spirit in you that Jesus did, only the portion might be different, but it's the same genuine Holy Spirit, same genuine holy life of God, then why do you have a spirit of fear and say, well, I'm not sure if I should be praying this? You're not sure, you won't get nothing. Then tell you what, stop what you're doing, go read your Bible, and ask God, show me this in your word. And when you see it in his word, say, okay, now I got your word for it. And Lord, it's confirmed in my heart, because I certainly want that to happen. Now it's up to you to bring it to pass. And so I'm asking you to bring into manifestation that portion of your word for me right now. And God, he will do it. Because he's not a respecter of persons. And he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, before you even ask, I'll answer. So I said to the brother, you were there? He said, yeah, I remember. I said, all right. I said, let's pray. 9 o'clock, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray here at 9 o'clock. It'll be 3 in the morning for you. I want you to pray. We got down at those times exactly, and we prayed. At 4 o'clock in the morning, his time, which is 10 o'clock my time, he wrote and said, hey, it's raining here. Within an hour, it's raining here. Hallelujah. So, whenever these brothers that were in those meetings write to me about anything, I say, you remember, you were there. You're a son. You have the same authority to call rain down, like Elijah did, or to stop it, like Elijah did. If you're a son, because he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and a sound mind. Look, the reason he gives you the Holy Ghost is that you will understand the things of God. If this is a living word, then you should read it every day. It's living bread. And you should read it every day. And what is my portion today, Lord? I don't care where you pick it up. It's the same word. It'll fill you. Power is in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the reality of your living resurrection among us, in us, through us, that we see Christ. Now, Father, we just ask you to bless the service as we close this portion of the service. And bless us, O God, as we read from your scripture in preparation for the communion service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, let's continue to pray for Sister Hoffman. Brother Peter, would you assist Justin with the elements? And then Brother Josh, if you could help get the elements ready, or the stuff ready for... Just give me a moment here. I'm trying to get out of this program.